Can I get Who Should Pray? Anyone want to pray? Or should I pick someone to pray? All right. You go, girl. Yeah. Bring it.
Lord, we just come before you right now. Lord, we just commit this hour to you. Lord, we just ask that your son be edified through this class, that we communicate that oneness in you. Father, we reckon ourselves dead, and we just submit our hearts to you in this hour. In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. So we are talking about abiding in the vine, we're talking about this relationship that we have with the vine, with the husbandman. And last week we talked about what?
Hugging.
That's good. We talked about an example that I felt like the Lord gave me that demonstrates abiding. And that was with the hug of someone that you love and have relationship with. So what that demonstrated was when you have that kind of a hug with your mother, your spouse, just a sibling that you care for, it can be in, you know, different scenarios, obviously, but the expression is generally the same. There's nothing being meant by the hug except a demonstration of relationship. A lot of times your eyes close. You're kind of shutting out things that are around you. You're just there in the moment. You're not doing anything, and you're not giving a hug or receiving a hug because of something you have or have not done. It's just a demonstration of the relationship that you have with that person. So there is a giving and a receiving as well. So it's not just all one-sided. You're not just giving a hug, although we say, oh, I'm going to give you a hug. But you're receiving a hug at the same time. I don't know, you know, people never say, oh, you know, I want to receive a hug. But at the same time, it's like, it's there. Like, you want to give and you want to receive all in the same time. And it's one of the few times, you know, in that kind of instance where it's not sin, it's not self in that sense, it's expressing something greater that you have with someone. And so abiding is just that. It is an expression of relationship in which you are not being required to do anything in order to be hugged, or not do anything to be hugged. It's because you are loved and you are in relationship that you get that kind of a hug. And you shut everything else out, and someone else from the outside may see that hug. They may see that relationship, but you're not aware of them. You're not focused on them. You are there in that relationship. And that's how it is with the Lord. We are in relationship with Him. We are not concerned about what other people think. So when you're truly abiding, you're generally not really concerned about what other people think. When you're not abiding, I think that's when you're really doing the works. You're trying to measure yourself. What do they think of me? Did they see me do this? How about this? You know? And you're very aware of everyone else rather than the relationship right there. And so it's very important to realize that abiding is pretty much an expression of a relationship more than anything else. There's not a bunch of doing that comes with the territory to abide. And that's the thing. We're always trying to buckle down. I want to get this. I want to abide. I want to do this. And it's like, there's no doing. And we talked about this last week, that everything in this example that Jesus spoke of was any of the doing was not our responsibility. It was not us. So that leaves us like kind of in limbo. Like, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to be. Okay? You're supposed to be in this relationship. And things come as an automatic. So we talked about that. And this week what we're going to talk about is the I can do nothing without him. Okay? Now, let's read the verse real quick. In John 15, it says verse 5, the classic John 15 verse here. John 15, 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. All right. I want to go ahead and pause the recording. And we're going to go outside and look at our vine again and talk for a few minutes about something here. Out there, I don't know, raise your hand if you thought that was interesting at all. I mean, it's not coincidence that Jesus uses this particular plant. I mean, there are very few plants that can't manage on their own. Very few. Okay, like, and I should have showed you. Maybe if you get a chance, when you go outside sometime, look at, there's these wild vines growing on that corner gazebo. It's finding a way to do what it needs to do. It's just all on its own, this other kind of vine. A vine that's going to produce fruit. And the vine that exemplifies our relationship with Jesus, is it's not possible for that vine to just be self-sufficient. Okay, so like we read when we started out in John 15, 5, at the end it says, for without me, you can do nothing. Now, I know that a lot of people are like, I don't know what that means. I can do plenty for God. You know, have you ever thought that personally? Like, what are you talking about? How can you even say that? I don't know. And it's like, I can do a lot, you know. And I think probably most of us are thinking what we can do for God rather than by God and one with God. So it's a distinction of relationship. And the way the Lord kind of broke it down to me, and I think it talks a little bit kind of about this in chapter 4. The Lord gave me this. He said, there are two different types of relationship here that the Christian can have. I mean, there may be more, but specifically in relation to what we're talking about here. There is what he gave me called a participation relationship. And then the other relationship that he said is a union relationship. Now, a participation relationship, I started thinking about this, and I just kind of was sitting there and just chewing on it and just waiting before the Lord. And he started bringing all these examples to my mind. And we're going to talk about some of these. A participation relationship has an end. And I was like, huh? Okay, listening, Lord. A participation relationship has an end. A union relationship does not. Okay? So, these are some of the things that I thought of in a relationship that is a participation relationship. How about a race, like a marathon? You're participating in this race. You are spending a lot of time. You are training. You are in the race. You're in race mode. I mean, for a long time sometimes. Not just like, well, I'm going to go do a 10K, you know. Like, you can't just go do that. The average person just can't go do that. There is a relationship that you have there with other people that are in, like, race mode. But eventually, it's over. And then you've got to find something else to kind of give yourself to. Okay, now it's this race, and I want to do this. And then it's over. It's like you're giving yourself. Everything that you are doing is about this thing. But at the same time, it's not an eternal relationship. It is very much temporal. How about another one? A concert. If you're a musician, you give yourself and give yourself, and you've got this big gig that you get to do, and you finally scored it. You were just, It was like your dream gig to finally get to play. And you finally do it. Now what are you going to do? It's like, well, yeah, you're still going to, you know, play your instrument or whatever. But that relationship that you kind of created, it's over for all intents and purposes. So you can be so absorbed in something. You can be surrounded by like people in this mode. And at the same time, now what the heck am I supposed to do? How about school? Even Bible school. People give themselves to school. They give themselves to their studies, to their degree, to their non-degreed ACTS program. They give themselves. They are surrounded by people, but it may be very much a participation relationship and not a union relationship. Let's see, what about like the Olympics? Tell you what, people, it's like they're almost out of the womb and these parents are like making this their kid's life and their own life. And they spend years and years and years, and then there's no more gold medals to win. They can't continue to compete any longer. They just cannot do it any longer. That relationship, even though it had been their entire life, is now over because they were only participating in something. It was not something that was true union. All of these things have an end. And there's a distinction there on the relationship that you can have, that I can have, that any Christian can have. And that is, are you truly relating by union? Or is it possible that you're relating by participation? You're participating in this. Right now, every single one of you are here. You are doing your chores. You're doing your classes, you're doing your homework, you're doing the things that you are required to do, but I guarantee you there have been many people come through here, and it's been a participation thing. And then when it's over, boy, is it over. And it's ugly usually, because it's not life anymore. They were just trying to do this thing that they thought was going to change them, and doing does not change who you are. A new way of living, a new way of relating is the only thing that can change you or I. So it doesn't matter how long I've been a graduate of ACTS or what I could do or not do. That doesn't define that relationship because it's nothing. Unless it's from union, it's nothing. That is the nothing that Jesus is talking about. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Yes, you can go to Bible school. Yes, you can memorize scripture. Yes, you can expound great truths. But if you are not doing so by true union relating, it is nothing. And I think there's a convincing that has to come by the Holy Spirit of the fact of how much nothingness we are doing. And I know that's not grammatically correct. You're doing nothing. Well, because doing is implicit of an action and nothing is an inaction. But that's what's going on. You are doing nothingness. It's producing nothing. So let's turn over to Romans 8. We need to be convinced by the Holy Spirit that apart from him, we can do nothing. And it's not that there's no doing. It's not the absence of doing. It's that the doing is nothingness. And I don't know if that makes any distinction to you, but it's not that you're not doing things. It's that the doing results in nothing. Just like the vine that was outside. It's doing something, and it's amounting to nothing. And eventually it's going to destroy the fruit that it's trying to bear. And it's going to eventually, if it's not brought into this relationship that a vine needs, it's going to just result in complete waste. So let's turn to Romans 8 here. There is no end to a union relationship. And it's because there's no doing that is defining that relationship. All right. Romans 8, 39. I know we're familiar with this. 38 and 39 here. It says, "For I am persuaded," we need to be persuaded, "that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Are you convinced? Can you genuinely say you are convinced in the core of your being that nothing can separate you? Or does things separate you? We need to be thoroughly and completely convinced that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So when you are in that hug, embrace, union relationship with the vine, nothing can separate you. If you are not in that, then yes, there's all kinds of things that can separate you. But it's a convincing that needs to happen within us. And it's, again, it has to be just persuasion that didn't come because of something you have or have not done, have or have not thought, have or have not believed, any of that. Okay? It's this, I don't know, it's a persuasion that comes by the Holy Spirit that, man, it doesn't matter how much of a wreck I am when I look at myself, I cannot be separated. Nothing can separate me. Do things separate you? Do they separate you? I'm not talking about in theory, not in doctrine. When it comes down to it, in the darkest place that you could find yourself in, are you separated? Are you? He says nothing can. Do we allow that to happen? I mean, that's how David could say, "God, you know, I make my bed in hell and you're still there." He's not separated. He's not separated. And it's because he has this union relationship, not this participation relationship. We're not participants with God for, you know, Christian things. I don't know. I mean, we need to not be pursuing serving the Lord or any of these things in a manner that is a participation mentality, but a union mentality. So there is no end to a union relationship, and that persuasion needs to come by the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. So even for the vine plant, with each season change, the relationship still lives. It's still going. The relationship is always there. What's going on, what the plant looks like, is very different from month to month to month. I mean, it changes. But the relationship never changes, does it? So if that is in the dead of winter and there is no fruit, there's no leaves, and it's just this gnarly looking, rough, kind of twisted, branchy thing, that relationship has not changed one bit. So as seasons come in our lives, are we changing? Or is our relationship staying? It's just there. I don't even know how to say it other than that relationship does not change with the seasons. The relationship doesn't. The way the plant looks, what's going on the outer is changing, but on the inside, that life is the same. That relationship of branch to vine, branch to husbandman, it's staying the same. And that's I think, the hugest difference is that when circumstances change, if you're in a participation relationship, things end and things change. If you are in a union relationship, that relationship remains. Nothing is separating it. Nothing. Nothing. And that's a good place to find yourself in, because when you're struggling with something, or you're struggling with yourself, you're struggling with what we struggle with, you need to have that anchor that nothing can separate you. Nothing. And there's not a person in this world that can anchor you like that can anchor you. There's not a thing in this world that it can anchor you like that relationship anchors you. So when everything else is just out the window, you have that, because it's a true relationship by union. You're not participating. Do not be a Christian that just participates in Christianity, that participates in Bible school, that participates in classes, that participates in the schedule. Because eventually you'll be done with classes. Eventually you won't be here at Acts. Eventually there will be an end to all of this. Shay's like, yes. But do you leave and it's over because you were only participating and you did your time, you did the deal? Don't do the deal. Don't do the deal. Have a union relationship. Don't be a participant at Acts. Get in and find that core place where nothing can separate. Okay, so I wrote here, God is not well pleased with doing. He is pleased with abiding that produces doing. How can you tell the difference? How can you tell the difference in yourself or in those around you? The difference. God is not well pleased with doing. He is pleased with abiding that produces doing. Now, how can you tell the difference? Can anyone sort through any of that? Or have you sorted through some of that in your pursuit of the Lord? Am I doing, or am I abiding that's producing doing? How do you know the difference? Anyone? Kim?
Well, like, if you're doing it versus if you're abiding for yourself personally, then you just feel like, you know, like going to work and you're engaging maybe with a conversation or with a child. It's like something that you really want to do and that you're actually doing it. You're not doing it so you can, you know, punch out at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And so then you're like, you're there, you know, the whole thing, it feels real. Mm-hmm. And then the work would be that you would just put on a smiley face and be like a robot. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of fake.
Yeah.
Personally.
Sure. Okay, so what Kim's saying then is, for her, some of the sorting and sifting of what's going on is a sorting of motivation, you would say. Like, she's motivated in certain ways, and it shows when it's being motivated by Christ versus when it's like, I'm doing the deal. I'm participating. The motivation is different inside. Anyone else have some things that they kind of have discerned? Yeah.
Usually, if you kind of, since we're cool, you kind of know in your heart, like, you kind of, if you ask yourself, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of know, because it's kind of like wanting, grabbing, but I need to. That's kind of, and I'm like, that's just me. You know, I'm going to have to be done straight away, and I have to go right now. I have to go help that person right now. Where there's, if I say, maybe I was waiting for it, it's like, no.
Yes. That's good. Anyone else have some things that they can share? Chris?
I'd say that your feet are set upon a path that is not your path. There's an eternal purpose. Not carried out, not one lick of it in your power or strength or in your ideas or any of that. It's just
It's good. Heather?
Well, this is one of my struggles, the doing. And personally, I found that if I would just wait on the Lord in doing pretty much anything, down to helping plan the vacation, all these active things that I enjoy doing.
Sure.
But, you know, does the Father really see that? Then what He has been continually showing me, and probably for years to come, because it's just a key barrier for me, is to wait and wait for Him. Wait for an answer from Him. Actually ask Him, do you want me to do this? And honestly, like the baby shower example was actually a real one for me this year, and I thought the thing also that goes along with that is there is something in you that goes, yeah, but what are they going to think? What are they going to think about me not doing this? Because if the Lord tells me not to do it or just doesn't give me the okay, and there's like that, there's not the peace and there's not the doing my life, then I'm going to say no. But then I thought, well, what if I do do it next year for whoever, baby showers, because the Lord gives me the okay. Do you know what you look like to others? Right. So that's the other thing that has to go as far as in this pleasing the Lord deal. You, man-pleasing is just out the window, 100%.
Yes. And that goes right along with the fact that when you're in that abiding hug, you are not concerned about what anyone else is thinking about that relationship. It's just out the window. Anyone else? Yeah?
It's like when we're doing... A lot of times what we really do, the participation part is like we're asking Him to participate in our life, where it's like Jesus in my life, you know, like you were using out there, that we're going our own way, because we want Him to bless the way that we're going,
right,
and bring fruit out of that. And so it's like really what we're asking Him to do is participate in that, because, you know, when we get to the end that we want, then we want to put Him away, or... You know what I mean? It's like we want to continue on our own until we really need Him to participate again.
Yeah.
So it's like, to me, it's like the difference between Him being in our life versus Him being our life instead. Where, you know, I was just reading here in 2 Peter, it says that we are partakers of the divine nature. And the word partakers there is that you have that nature in common. And so to me, that's the union part, where He calls us into union. You know, and it's not that we, it's not a participation, but it's a, where it becomes common. It just kind of talks about union instead.
Well, and if you reflect on a marriage relationship, if you're just participating in that relationship, it's not probably going to go well, and it's probably not going to go long. Agreed? You're just kind of like, oh, let's just go with this. I mean, sure, there have been tales of people falling in love years after their arranged marriage and, you know, finding love eventually, learning to love that person. But that's not what is going on here with the Lord, you know? He is wanting to bring us into this union relationship that just is. And it's not about what we have or haven't done or can't do. It's because He's called us into it, and that's it. He's just called us into this relationship. A husband and a wife, they're in a relationship, not so that, you know, hopefully, they can just have kids and do the deal, because that's not easy, so that they can, you know, save on their taxes and, you know, get the tax breaks from being married. Nobody does that, you know? I mean, you don't go into those things for those kind of random reasons that would be like more, well, let's just do this so we can, you know, I mean, that'd be weird. Alana, you and, I don't know, somebody hooking up so that you can get some tax benefits. It's like, you wouldn't do that, would you? You wouldn't want to enter a relationship strictly to participate in things. You just wouldn't. Why do we do this with the Lord? Why? And why do we find that or think that God is pleased in that? He's not pleased in that kind of a thing. He doesn't want to participate with you in something. He will, but that's not the relationship that He's after. He is after union that is eternal, that is just there. It just is. It doesn't do except that it is. And the is produces doing. That's what the Lord told me. He said, God is not well pleased with doing. He is pleased with abiding that produces doing. Period. The difference. Okay, let's look in 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 9. I'm going to read a few verses here. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's cultivated field. Ye are God's building. That in itself is interesting because it says we're laborers with God, and then it says we are his field and his building. There's a lot there, right there in that verse. So there is a doing that is involved with us, yet at the same time, we are the field that is bringing forth, and we are the habitation that he desires. All right, keep going. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, have I laid the foundation, and another buildeth on it. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon it. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon it, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? All right, so what we have here is a demonstrating of man's works, so to speak. The day and fire are what reveal what truly is. All right, the daytime is light. Fire is also light. Fire, I don't know if you've ever done any studying on that, but fire is a huge tool that the Lord uses. And I believe even in the end, when everything is wrapped up like a scroll, the reason there is a lake of fire is because it is a tool that is revealing what truly exists. It's not that God is wanting burning in that sense. It's a revealing. This is what you got. This is what you have. This is how you live. This is who you are. Anyway, this is showing that the foundation that we're building on, it's revealed for what it is. So all of these works that we are doing, are they nothing? The apart from Christ nothingness? Or are they remaining? Because even Jesus said in John 15, said, ye have not chosen me, this is verse 16 of 15, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So the bringing forth of fruit, that it should remain, is so that that result of life is seen for what it truly is. And I guess the biggest thing that I felt the Lord wanting me to ask you guys today is your doing a result of participation or of union? And there's a lot of sorting that has to go on in each one of us. I mean, because like Heather even said, it's not about the baby shower, but it's about the motivation. It's about being in tune with the Lord. And it's not like a robot thing. Okay, should I answer the phone, God? You know? I mean, we actually had somebody that was a student here that they were watching property, and the phone was ringing and ringing and ringing, and one of the deans came down and was like, why aren't you answering the phone? I was praying and waiting to see if God would tell me to answer the phone. Definitely happened. For the record, it was Dan. But, so it's not about like tell me what to do, I will obey. You know, it's not about that. It is about a relationship. But in a relationship, like, okay, Jason and Shay, they like going out every once in a while and watching a movie and just hanging out and chit-chatting or whatever, you know, just having some guy time. And, you know, Jason, he'll, hey, would it be okay? You know, is tonight okay? Do you mind? But he's not, like, asking my permission, like, no. But at the same time, he's checking with me because we're in a relationship together. So it's not like he is, you know, asking for my permission as in some authority way. But there's life there. He's not going to compromise the life and the union that he's in for an action that he wants to do. And that's the difference. And we can compromise the life and union that we have in the Lord because we just want to go do something without even checking. It just can't hurt to check. I mean, whenever we want to move somewhere, yes, we're seeking God. Or whenever maybe we want to buy a house, we'll seek God about it, you know. But what about throwing a baby shower? Do we just kind of blow that stuff off? Oh, well, God doesn't really care. Well, can't hurt to check. You're in a reunion. I don't know why I keep saying reunion now. A union relationship with him. You should check with him. I think it's interesting that a lot of people, I don't know, this is just me, like they get married and after a certain point it's like they are ready to have kids. And they don't really check with the Lord on like, should I have kids? I don't know. I mean, I find it very interesting. Like, it's a big deal. You're procreating Adam in that sense. It's a big deal. I don't know. That's one of the bigger things to me. But God, they'll pray about a new house all day long. But it's like, I don't know, man. Some of you maybe should have prayed before you had that kid. Just kidding. God died for all of us. We're all heathens. But nevertheless, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, we kind of sort through what we do and don't check in with the Lord on and how we live and how we proceed and what we do. And you don't have to like just check in every single time because there is a union relationship that you are aware of and it's appropriate or not appropriate to be a certain way. But I don't know. We're not convinced that apart from Christ, everything that we do is nothing. We are not convinced of that, and we need to be convinced that everything apart from Christ is nothing. Not necessarily sin, but it's nothing. It just kind of changes your viewpoint, you know, and you're not just so wrapped up in things that you shouldn't get wrapped up in. I mean, I know some people, they are just online and in these forums, and they get all wrapped up, and these are my friends and stuff, and it's like, you've never even met this person. And then they get all distraught when drama goes down, and you're just like, they're wondering, why aren't you upset? I'm just like, I'm not emotionally involved in a relationship here. I just come to chit-chat every few days. Like, for real? This is, I'm not giving myself to this. It's just crazy. So we need to decipher, discern, sort through our doing and our relating. Are we proceeding in a relationship with the Lord like he's participating with us, we're participating with him? Are we in a true union relationship? Because in the end, everything that's not built on that foundation, it's going to be destroyed. And you just need to know that, you know? I mean, it just, that's what's going to happen. So, with that, I want to read a couple of things out of chapter 4 here in the book before we close out. On page 18, this is under one with different roles. The second paragraph and the last sentence of the second paragraph says, we need to quit trying to be pleasing in ourselves and seek to bring forth more of Christ so the Father may be glorified. We need to quit trying to be pleasing in ourselves. It's filthy rags. Do you know that it's filthy rags apart from Christ? And then two paragraphs down, the end there, it says, being made one with the vine does not make us the vine. The life that is within the vine is within us, and we are one based on the life that we share. So just because I see something of the Lord, truly by the Lord, in the Word, does not still make me anything. I was blind unless he opened my eyes. I couldn't see him unless he did something. And then when I did see something, it was him that I saw. He's the beautiful one. It doesn't make me anything to even see him in a true way. Somehow we think it makes us something because we can see the Lord and know the Lord. The only thing that should be changing is us, because apart from him, then, we're nothing. And it really makes us nothing to even be able to see the Lord in a true way. We were blind and could not see apart from him. There was nothing of ourself that caused us to be able to see. And when we did see, it was nothing of us that we saw. It was all him. There is no glorying in ourselves. There is nothingness in ourselves. We need to be convinced of that. So even the true things of God, we need to know, apart from him, nothing. Nothing. If there is a union, then there is a flow of the one. There is a flow. There's a life flow. I'm just going to be reading little snippets here and there. There can be no participation in the life without entering into union with the vine first. So unless we are in union, there's no participating of his life. It's just doing, the participation of doing. And I thought this was interesting. On page 20, the second paragraph under Christ in You, I just kind of pondered on this for a while. It says, be ye holy, for I am holy, is to challenge you to the possibilities of Christ within, not to stir you to feverish work. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Challenge those possibilities of Christ in you. There is so much possibility of Jesus coming forth in us, through us. But not if we're doing. Be ye holy. I love that it said it's a challenge. It's a challenge. There's a lot of times when Jesus, you know, he's like, I abide in my Father. The works that I do, they're not my own. My Father sent me to do these things. He was constantly saying, you know, I mean, when people are like, oh, you can't believe you healed that person. Wow, and I didn't do it. My Father did it, you know. And then they're like, you can't heal on the Sabbath. I didn't do it. My Father did it. It's like, it doesn't matter if it was good or bad. There was abiding there, and it was like not about himself and just what he did. They were pointing to what he did, not to who he was. They couldn't see it. They didn't see that relationship. All they could see was the doing. The doing produced, I mean, the being produced the doing, but it wasn't the being that they were able to see. Let's see here. It says, branches do not try to think right thoughts. They are to become a channel for the one and only mind. Branches don't have to try. They just receive that life. They receive the pruning. They receive the sunlight. They receive the water. They receive, and they just abide in. This is on page 21, under the vine is the source. The last, I don't know what it is with some of these last sentences here. Last sentence. This is a me living for God, trying to bring forth fruit and looking to him as my helper mentality. Okay, so there's this mentality of, that's what it's saying, me living for God, trying to bring forth fruit and looking to him as my helper. That right there, that's participation. That's not union. It's I'm trying to bring forth fruit. I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to look to him. I'm trying to have him change me. rather than being. Participation mentality right there. And then in that next paragraph, it says, we think that because we did something for God, we are going to make him happy. God is not pleased with our doing. He is pleased with our abiding that produces the doing. We think that because we did something for God, we're going to make him happy. No. So, the participation can be very tricky. Like, it's very subtle, I think, sometimes in us. Are we making decisions? Are we doing things based on just participating with the Lord, and then we're also participating with my life or whatever? Or are we coming from a place of union? That you could still look like a total ramshackle. Just like in the winter, that vine is not attractive at all. At all. And the relationship hasn't changed. Nothing's changed, really, except what someone else sees. But for all intents and purposes, the vine is like no different, really. Are you any different? Or, you know, do the seasons change you, so to speak? So, the Lord doesn't want us to have a participation mentality. He just doesn't. He will relate to us that way if that's what we're after, because he loves us and he wants to be with us, but he wants to be in us, you know? So I'm going to close out with that and just ask that the Holy Spirit would help us sift and sort through our doings. Are they coming from a participation relationship or a union relationship? How do we live life? How do we proceed? What is the core? What's the anchor? Are things able to separate us or not? If they can separate us, then, you know, let that fire just reveal what it is so that it doesn't have to stay that way. It doesn't have to stay that way if you, you know, see there's a lot of participation rather than union going on. But God's not happy because we do things for him. That's not where he's pleased. Although, when we do things that come from abiding, yes, he's pleased, because that's what it says in John 15, that he's pleased in that. He's not happy with us just doing things for him. It'll save you a lot of heartache. It'll save you a lot of energy to not do things if it's not the Lord. And it's not about waiting for God to tell me to answer the phone. It's not like that. It's not a robot thing. That's not a relationship either. It's a relationship. And if you're trying to, what would Jesus do? You're not in a relationship. Like, I know what Jason would do if someone asked me in a certain instance, what would he do in this? I would just know. I'd be able to tell you. I wouldn't have to go, huh, gosh, shoot, beats me, you know, because I know him, you know? So, anyway, Shay, would you close us out?
Our Father, help us to see union. Divide us up for us, Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, for we are dense. Keep us from empty and worthless works that have nothing to do with your Son. They stand only, testify against him, make a mockery of his life, further blind people, further hardened hearts. Battle against that in us, Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Yes.